You may remember earlier in the programme, Thomas was having a bit of a pop at the Gaelic Athletic Association, his opinion of the history and the background to the GAA. And it's interesting he said that this morning, because there's a relevant issue up in Ballymoney where parents at one of the schools up there, some of them are saying they're unhappy with what they view as attempts to pressure children into taking part in Gaelic Athletic Association activities. These are some of the parents of pupils at Ballymoney High School, and apparently they've hit out after the school told year 11 boys, year 11 is what, about third year or whatever, isn't it, at school, that they were to receive coaching in order to participate in a GAA initiative alongside pupils from two other schools, Dalriada Grammar and Our Lady of Lourdes School up in the area as well. Now, I want to speak to one of the local representatives. He's a councillor, Russell Watton. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Russell, you're with the PUP up there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't come from a hotbed of Gaelic tradition, obviously, but you have a real problem with this.
No, well, the problem, I haven't a problem with the GAA per se. The problem is it's the parents had the problem, and then they came to me. The problem is, they were told this was taking place on Thursday. They were told on Monday. Anybody didn't want to do it had to present themselves individually to the principal or the vice principal. So I had irate parents on Monday to me about it. So I had to follow it up and phone the principal on Tuesday morning, and basically I just wanted to know what was going on, and there were things said and which was denied and stuff went on, but the basic issue is they didn't want their sons doing it, and the sons didn't want to do it. These are 15-year-olds, Frank. The parents didn't want them doing it, and the sons didn't want to do it.
Yeah, how many?
They were being pressurised into it.
Yeah, how many young lads are we talking about who, or how many parents of young fellas?
Well, I had a number with me now. I'm told now that it has been scrubbed. That I was told if there was a grain swell of opinion against it, it would not go ahead. So obviously that has been happening. I'm absolutely amazed at the response. And only it was a local story. I mean, and when I put a statement on explaining, there's 12,000 hits and one statement. I just can't. I'm astounded. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Russell, you see, sometimes on this programme we'll hear, oh, the GAA, it's only for Catholics, and the GAA, it's only for Irish people, and the GAA, there's not a Protestant about the place. And then an initiative like this is run, and people get up in arms and block it, when obviously hands are being reached out to engage with everybody.
Yes, well, the problem is, Frank, they play, their ground's named after Republican hunger strikers. They play for, at the last count, I think it was 18 cups and trophies, bursaries for former or dead IRA men. Now, if you're going to be inclusive, it's a strange way of going about it. You know what I'm saying? My issue is this, the biggest issue I have with it, I'm in my 60s, and my entire life, Frank, I knew two Protestants and Korean. I was in the GAA. And my entire life, one was a fella when I was 18 in the early 60s, for the troubles, sports mad, and a wee girl playing camogie 3 years ago, 15-year-old. That's it. That is it, Frank.
Yeah, but Russell, if you forgive me for saying, but we're not going to encourage people of, say, a non-traditional nationalist, Catholic, Irish background into the GAA if an initiative like this is spurned so readily. And you make a point about there are 18 trophies that are in some way are linked to people who are in the IRA. At the last count, and I could be 1,000 out either way, but at the last count, there were 10,000 trophies that you play for across the island of Ireland at various club levels, school levels, university level. It's a lot of trophies, because the 18, but this is important, Russell, the 18 that you're including include really small trophies played at local levels between teams from a nationalist Republican area. And those trophies, I'm not suggesting they don't exist. They do exist. but they are minor with a small M trophies. And if we're going, if we're going to put the spotlight on those, you've got to put the spotlight on all the trophies. So we're talking easily 10,000 trophies, none of which are called after Republicans. And then you have to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the GAA provides a fabulous outlet for health and fitness and well-being for kids. And those Ballymoney kids could avail of it if only the parents were a little more open-minded.
Well, the problem is, well, it's not a matter of them being open-minded. I think this is back to old equality and the rights thing. Is these people not the right to say, no, I don't want them to be involved in it? And I'll tell you something, some of these young fellas in the local bands down here, some of them are junior members of the Loyal Orders. I mean, I want to say, you can talk all about your 10,000 trophies, but you must admit to me that the Catholic Republican ethos of the GAA, now that's okay. And they talk about the cross community. Well, I don't see it, and I haven't seen it in my lifetime, so I don't know where it's coming from. It's looked upon in the working class housing estate as a single identity sport, which is of absolutely no relevance to anybody in those estates.
Yeah, and Russell, I understand. Listen, let me agree with you for a moment. I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying that you're making this up. I totally understand what you're saying. And this is being addressed within the GAA. Jarlath Burns, who's a very high-profile GAA figure, he's also a head teacher of a school, but he's one of the most respected people in the organisation. He argues about doing away with the flag. The Irish flag flies a lot at big GAA games. He argues about doing away with the national anthem. Mickey Hart, who's another big name in Gaelic sport, has opened that debate by agreeing with much of what has been said at that level to make it more acceptable to those housing estates that you're describing. Steps most likely do have to be taken to make it, for want of a better term, this is my term, slightly less Irish. Now, I know there will be people listening who will hate me using that term, but I understand where you're viewing it from. It is a relevant point. Then you've the Joe Brawleys of this world who have argued, oh, you cannot under any circumstances make it any less green than it is. That's an ongoing debate that is within the GAA, and I accept that.
Well, I have no inside knowledge in the GAA. You have obviously more than I have, but what I am saying to you is I'm telling you the facts are on the ground as we speak at the minute, and that is the facts on the ground. Now, I'll put it to you another way. There have been IRA reenactments, there's been marches, there's been the 25th anniversary of Casement Park. It's not just been one thing or another, it's a whole range of stuff. And it goes on steady.
Yes, there are
black flags. There are black flags flying there this year, and one of the GAA clubs in Causeway Coast and Glens. You know what I mean? And then I actually had to ask the Shunner what it was for, and he couldn't even tell me.
Yeah, but these are not GAA-sponsored initiatives. These are local initiatives that people within the GAA, because of course there are Republicans, there are numerous Republicans within the GAA, and they will make their presence felt within it. But that is not driven by the Gaelic Athletic Association. Because if it was a Republican movement, why would Cadbury's or the Bank of Ireland or Kellogg's or Centra or Ulster Bank or Supervalue or AIB or McAleer and Rush, Kerry Group, Kingspan, Vodafone, I'm just looking at a whole series of GAA jerseys here. Why would they sponsor it?
Tell me this, Frank. It was just said to me last night, would they sponsor a cup and a final in Windsor Park or Volunteer Augusty Spencer or Brigadier John McMichael?
But the point is,
would they be told it was bigoted, it was sectarian? Of course they would. You know rightly they would.
The point that I'm making is that's not organised by the GAA, and of course those companies wouldn't sponsor anything that's associated with terrorism. Those companies are massive companies. They're worldwide companies. Do you not think they look at where their money's going? Do you not think they scrutinise where their next investment might be? And they're queuing up to sponsor the Gaelic Athletic Association. Her Majesty the Queen came to the headquarters of the Gaelic Athletic Association.
Well, of course, the sponsorship they're getting, and the funding, Frank, on the grounds that they're saying they are cross-community. And I'm telling you they're not, and you know they're not.
But
so why keep loving that line and keep saying you're a cross community when you know right now you're not?
But Russell, they're reaching out there in Ballymoney and they're being rejected. Well, let me answer the question for me. Her Majesty the Queen came to Croke Park. Croke Park symbolises the Gaelic Athletic Association. Prince Philip went home with a hurling stick that also symbolises the Gaelic Athletic Association.
Yes, and her Majesty Queen Ben Martin McGuinness.
Yes, but...
And the young guy like that? No, it did not.
Yes, but...
Of course it didn't.
Are you really, in your heart of hearts, comparing the meeting between Her Majesty the Queen and Martin McGuinness with Her Majesty the Queen being a special guest at Croke Park, soccer, rugby and Gaelic football have all been played?
Frank, you're painting a very, very rosy picture. And I can tell you, go and ask Peter Heffron, or go and ask the young Protestant in Fermanagh, with abuse he faced. I mean, that's what some of these young...
We've covered it.
We wouldn't have done it 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have done it 5 minutes. They would be getting abuse.
We've covered the Peter Heffron story in great detail here on this programme, and the Gaelic Athletic Association totally, utterly and completely empathises with Peter Heffron. There may be a local issue in the area that we've discussed and debated on this programme with Joe Brawley and whatever, but the central issue is, in recent times there have been examples of, and what happened to Peter Heffron was heartbreaking and appalling, but members of the PSNI have also died, and the Gaelic Athletic Association have been there to carry their coffins in recent times.
Well, surely I can see where you're going, and I can see where people are trying to go, but I can tell you one thing. Look, it hasn't gone down well in Ballymoney.
I know.
There was parents that came to me, and you're asking people to say 15-year-old, and I also think that the way it was done didn't appeal to a lot of people. It was done a very ham-fisted way.
And I'm saying
I had that out with the principal, and I thought to myself, and I have been listening, we have been lectured, and you know, all I have heard is Irish Language Act, equality, respect, integrity, shared space, blah, blah, blah. But there is no shared space in places, and that's just it. That's what I'm saying. Where's our equality? Where is equality? Where's the rights of those people? They turn around and say, no, I don't want, my son doesn't want to play it, and I don't want him to play it.
Okay.
Have they not that right?
Yeah, of course they do. Russell, they absolutely do. And I appreciate you speaking to me about it this morning. And thank you for coming on. Thank you.
Good man. No bar.
Thank you.
Cheers,
Russell Watton, the PUP councillor up in Ballymoney, where in the development, the housing estate, the area, the constituency that he's in, some young men aren't prepared to even try getting involved in Gaelic Athletic Association sports. And the schools have come together. I'm not suggesting for a moment it's been a ham-fisted approach. Russell used that term, but I understand what he's saying. It came out of the blue. Parents in the area aren't ready for it. And we have to understand that, understand what Russell is saying when he's representing those families. But is it a step that maybe can be added to at some time in the future? And it would it be so much of a tragedy in Ballymoney if young lads from Ballymoney High School, Dalriada Grammar and Our Lady of Lourdes School had an old game of Gaelic football. We can talk about it. 90-333-105. You can let us know what you think. We speak to Eamon, who's on line 3. Morning, Eamon.
Hey, Frank. I'm just giving a call about the discussion on the GAA, just about one of two of the things that Russell Watson was saying there. He said that the decision to sort of introduce it in the school in Ballymoney was hand-fisted. I think he was getting at the GAA there, but surely that was due to the approach of the school as opposed to the approach of the GAA.
Well, I don't really want to get into whether it was ham-fisted or whether it was well-organised. The principle is that some kids in the area don't want to play the game. I don't have the GAA here to explain how well organised it was, or the head teacher of any of the schools. So whether or not there was a run-in period that gave them loads of thinking time about it, or whether it just popped up with a few days to go, the issue would still be the same. There'd be a lot of kids in Ballymoney and a lot of families who would feel they were taking a wrong turn if they kicked a Gaelic football.
Yeah, well, I've been involved in coaching in schools as well with the GAA, and I've actually coached in an integrated school. It was a primary school, and the kids there loved it, and we didn't have any issue from the parents, and there was actually one or two of the kids came up to training with the club. and they enjoyed it, they had a ball.
Yeah, you see, that's where the worry is for the parents, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it's down to the parents as well. I think sometimes, maybe it's a bit cynical. I think for younger kids, it's easier to get younger kids involved in something like that than it is for older kids. They sort of have a wee bit more, they've experienced and they've sort of built up opinions of certain things.
And parents do feel that, in some loyalist areas, would feel that if their kid goes to a Gaelic club, that in some way they're going to be indoctrinated, that they're going to be taught some sort of subliminal message of being Republican. And nothing could be further from the truth, because there are so many people involved in Gaelic clubs who are victims of the IRA.
Yeah.
So many people involved in Gaelic clubs who lost their premises that were burnt to the ground by the IRA. People involved in Gaelic clubs who would never, if there was only one party to vote for, they wouldn't vote for Sinn Féin. But that's not how the loyalist sees it in an enclave in Ballymoney.
Yeah, that's obviously not how it's seen. But, I mean, the club that we're in, it couldn't be further from that. I mean, the club that we're in actually had members sort of told not to leave, but told that their opinions weren't really welcome if they're going to keep going the way they were going in terms of their sort of politics or their outlook on it, really.
Yeah, sure, and you will get outspoken people.
Yeah,
of course you will. You get all sorts. It's just a pity that the Gaelic Athletic Association couldn't have more of those young Ballymoney fellas, because they're essential to the ultimate success of the association.
I think it's something to do with sort of this part of the world. I mean, if you go down south, there's no sectarianism in it. I mean, you have Protestants planted, no problem. It doesn't make a difference down there. I think up here, just like most other things, it's brought down to sort of green and orange.
Yeah, but do you accept, Eamon, that the flag has to come down? The flag. If a young lad in Ballymoney who might like the style of Gaelic football, who might watch it, who would say, gosh, I wouldn't mind getting involved. It comes to the school, he then has a go at it. He thinks, right, is there an Antrim club nearby? I'm going to go and join it. At that point, he's playing in matches and he will, you know, be surrounded by other young fellas and girls who are getting involved for all the reasons of sport and activity and health and well-being and fitness and scoring goals and winning trophies. But at some point, he's going to play in a game where he goes along and there's an Irish flag up and there's a wee Tupney Hipney band playing the Irish national anthem before a game. Is there any call for that?
To be honest, I don't think there is. I can see how some people can be offended by it. So, I mean, you could go as far as saying, take down the national flag and put up provincial flags, if it was that important. But I don't think the GAA itself is that reliant on its identity to sort of focus on having a flag flying or a band flying. I mean, the focal point of the GAA is the sport itself. It's not really, flags are relevant. I mean, for me, playing a match, the one thing, don't get me wrong, playing the big match, it's nice to sort of stand for the anthem. But at the end of the day, it's not the sort of the be-all and end-all. You're there to play a match. You're there to win a match. You're not there to, I don't go to a match and the first thing I think of is I want to hear the anthem. You want to see a match. You want to play a match. You want to be involved in that. I think that side of it's more important. I think getting kids involved to play sport and be healthy is more important than a flag. A flag isn't the identity of the GAA. It's the people involved, I think.
Well, it's something that's being discussed at the moment, because the Ballymoney High School kid from Russell's area is not going to be drawn to it while there is a flag flying over any of the pitches.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I think sort of, even if you had it as a broad sort of spectrum, as a rule, saying don't fly the flag, I think you would still have clubs that would do it.
This is true, and this goes back to my thing about local, what happens in local areas and in some Republican areas. Like, the idea of taking the flag down would cause mayhem.
Yeah.
The GAA would find it very hard to impose that upon certain clubs.
I think it's not so much taking the flag down. I think if you look at most of the places, most pitches that I've played on, it's more curious of actually putting it up, because most pitches I've played on, the flag isn't flying.
Totally, absolutely. I agree 100% with you. I played football all my life with our club and I never saw the flag fly at all. Eamon, thank you for that. Right, it's 22 minutes to 11. Hugh's on this line. Good morning, Hugh.
Morning, Frank. You hear me okay?
I'm hearing you good. Go ahead, Hugh.
Frank, a brighter note of the discussion that you had there. Back in the mid-80s, I can tell you, I played up at St. Enda's in Glengormley. We were stuck one day for a goalkeeper, And our mixed soccer team of both Catholic and Protestant lads, I asked our goalkeeper, who was a Protestant lad, I asked him to come along and do goals for our GAA team. And he came along, and he absolutely loved it. And he actually told me that it helped his soccer goalkeeping, being goals at our GAA club. Now, it turned out, I'll not tell you who he was, because if I told you his name, you'd know right away, because he went on to be a Northern Ireland international. And he just absolutely loved it. He played 3 or 4 games for us, and again, he just enjoyed it so much, he said, you know.
Did he go on to be an international player outfield?
No, goalkeeper, international goalkeeper.
Gosh, it couldn't be that many. It couldn't be, back in the 80s, couldn't be. Yeah. Jeepers, we'll be able to work this one out ourselves.
You could work it out okay. The reason I'm not naming him, I haven't spoke to him this morning to say, look, he's still over in England, by the way. I haven't spoke to him to say, look, I'm going to mention your name on air, you know. No, it wouldn't be hard to work out, I'm telling you.
It wouldn't be hard. We'll not name the 4 or 5 that it could be. We'll not name any of them.
But but what I'm saying is, he came from a Protestant area, went to a Protestant school, he came up to play GAA for us, and he said it really helped him with his soccer goalkeeping. You know, as you know, you're not allowed to stand and bounce the ball in GAA. You have to get rid of it as quickly as you can, and it toughened him up a bit.
Yeah, and listen, loads of lads played it, and the bottom line is, you're not going to be asked when you join what religion you are. You know, that's, people almost think, oh, you'd have to say you're a Catholic. What a nonsense.
He was welcomed, and, you know, obviously, I think with a wee bit of pressure from where he was, I don't actually, he only played 3 or 4 games for us, but the point is, he enjoyed it, and he said it helped his soccer goalkeeping, you know, immensely.
Hugh, yep. thank you, and regards to whichever one of our 80s heroes that would have been. Let me say, I just want to sort out this wee problem that I have with my phones, and I think I can do this quite readily here if I flick that little switch. And if I say now, good morning to Gary, who's on line 3. He's on line 3 or line 4 or whichever line pops up. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Francis. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, sir. Very well.
Now, here, before I get to my point, did you hear them Man United men singing last night?
Well, you know, the Man United, what a fine bunch of players and what a great fan base they have.
Did you hear what they were singing?
Hold on. Do you think I spent last night watching Man United defend against Sevilla for 90 minutes?
But well, I watch, you know, I'm a footballer. I love sport, no matter what it is, but they were singing Will Griggs on Fire, the whole I support.
Aye, I know. They're great Northern Ireland fans, those Man United boys.
Frank, my point is, not the guy that was on there, which was a good story about the goalkeeper. The previous guy you had on from the GAA, who I thought put their point across very articulate and very well. And if the likes of him come on and try to explain to people from the unionist community, it might go down a bit better. But where I come from, I would follow GAA. I'm an armchair fan. I follow Clare. So I do, where I would come from, and I'm not frightened, for want of a better word, I can't find a word, but, you know, say that team had been started up in Ballymoney, and one of a couple of kids in it had relatives killed or maybe hurt by IRA actions, and they ended up playing at a park named after an IRA man, or a competition named after an IRA man, and then, you know, they found out all of a sudden they were in this place playing for a team in a place where it was named after an IRA terrorist, for want of a better word. I know people will call them not terrorists. In my opinion, they are. Other people's another opinion. I think if the GAA council, we all are council, I know you said at local level and local clubs, but, you know, if they could take action against a club that was called or named after an IRA man or a trophy, you know, the IFA wouldn't have it. The Football Association of Ireland wouldn't have it. Ulster Rugby wouldn't have it. You know, so why should one sporting organisation allow it? You know, and then it may open it up to people from unionist areas. But I think while things like that go ahead, you know, any level-headed person will tell you that they wouldn't want their child playing in the Raymond McCreesh Park, or that's the play park. But yeah, I can't think of names that's named after them, but there is, and there is competitions. You know, somebody who would be more knowledgeable about the Ulster end of it would know better than me. But down south, I would follow it through Clare.
Yeah, the most obvious one that you're making reference to there is the Kevin Lynch Club, which is in Dungiven. Kevin Lynch was one of the hunger strikers. He was a member of the INLA, and a number of things in Dungiven have been called after Kevin Lynch, including one of the streets. There's Kevin Lynch Park. Yeah. There's the Kevin Lynch Flute Band or Drums Band. Kevin Lynch Hurling Club. Those are the references to Kevin Lynch in Dungiven at a local level. Now you make a good point. The GAA could say to Dungiven, you're not calling the hurling club the Kevin Lynch Hurling Club. And I just wonder how they would stop the local people there who decided that it is going to be called the Kevin Lynch Hurling Club. I'm just wondering how they would stop them. Would that cause a bigger problem by insisting that you're not going to call it the Kevin Lynch Hurling Club? You're going to be banned from all hurling competitions. You're not going to play. None of the kids are going to play. There's going to be a complete and utter ban on you because you've called that club after a hunger striker. Would that cause a much bigger problem across the Republican element, who are within the GAA? Loads of Republicans in the GAA. It's not a Republican organisation, but there are loads of Republicans in it. Would that spark a much greater problem?
But Frank, you see, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I have no problem whatsoever at all. Let me make this quite clear, of people honouring their dead. You know, be it Republican or Loyalist, that's quite within their right. And the name streets within their own areas, again, quite within their right. Flute bonds, quite within their right. So it is, I'm talking here about a sporting competition. We're down south, and I know this for a fact, because I speak privately via social media to people down south who would send me results and that. We're down south. It is played by both communities. There's Protestants involved in it down there. But it's going to be a hard, hard sell to the unionist community. Why? You know, in Dungiven, have the name of the street, have the name of the flute band. But when it comes to sport and trying to draw unionists into the sport, it's going to be a no-no while it's there, you know, and it's a big, big problem that they're going to have and trying to draw people from the unionist community into it while it's named that, as I say.
Okay.
I wouldn't like to see Windsor Park, the National Stadium, named after any loyalist, you know, so why should the GAA do it and try and draw, you know, and Northern Ireland's a prime example. If you look at Northern Ireland and the Northern Ireland support, and you'll agree with me here, and Michael Boyd, the work that they have done up there in eradicating sectarianism and keeping things that gets away from the sport, I mean, I think it's something the GAA should look at before trying to draw unionists from unionist areas in.
Okay, it certainly is the stick that people who argue against the GAA will use to beat them. The GAA's defence would be that the Kevin Lynch reference is used locally by people from Dungiven. Kevin Lynch was a member of that hurling club before he died. The hurling club's called after him because he did die. There are people in Dungiven who support the hunger strike initiative and all of that. It is a Dungiven thing and not a Gaelic Athletic Association thing. That's the argument from the GAA. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. It's 10 to 11. Good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Let me speak to a gentleman who's on line 3. Good morning, sir.
Frank, how's it going?
Appreciate
the programme this morning. Just wondering, you sort of said about playing GAA all your life, and other people about saying GAA. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely, yeah.
The GAA inviting all the other sports. I'm just wondering, were you ever invited to play other sports from the GAA? So, i.e. rugby, football, any other sports?
Strangely, yes, because when I was growing up and I was a member of the GAA from very young age, I remember us being introduced, first of all, to rugby, and it was through a great man long since passed called Sean Murdoch, who was liaising with people who were involved in local rugby in Northern Ireland, because that's the way Sean thought. He could see benefits from training as a touch rugby type guy, that it would benefit you on the Gaelic football field. Also, a significant involvement in athletics. We were involved in athletics and used Gaelic footballing facilities to train for a variety of athletics competitions and indeed cross-country running. And as well as that, we had a basketball initiative which we linked up through the GAA as well. So I find them to be very open on that. But our line seems to have gone down. But that's the answer to the question. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.